Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It's hump day. It's really
hump day.
A very important hump day because it is the 1 week from Christmas hump day. Mm-hmm. We're all very excited about that. We've got a little Christmas lunch we're going to tomorrow all together. That's going to be super fun. On Friday, I have a couple things for you guys before we leave on Friday. Just a little kiss goodbye for our couple weeks off.
You're very nice. Thank you.
I'm very loving, very giving and loving.
I haven't had a second to think about anything.
Don't have to. You don't have to.
I actually, today is the first break for a minute. Yesterday I had stuff. Monday I had stuff.
Yeah. Today. No, don't worry. Some stuff will get dumped on your plate for today. There's no days where there's nothing to do.
You just jinxed it.
You're asking for it. You literally said that out loud. That's your fault.
I feel like I've got a clean look at today. Like really, today could be a good one.
Don't threaten it.
I'm going to get a little exercise. Yeah, don't threaten it, Sarah.
I got a feeling. Goo Goo Dolls tickets. We've got them. Jane's giving them away every day this week at 4:05. She'll give you a code word. You text that to our contest line and you'll be entered for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Goo Goo Dolls and the Dashboard Confessionals. Throw the in there. I don't know what to do. So Dashboard Confessional, Goo Goo Dolls, September 4th, the Greek Theater in Berkeley. It's a ways off. It's hard to imagine that we're just now getting into tickets for things that are in September. Okay, let me start with Tom Cruise. Love Tom Cruise. I have some crazy, crazy Tom Cruise laughs over here. He's really enjoying that. Whatever that was, Tom is just...
Oh, that's from his Scientology video.
Yes, that is it.
Where he was introduced as Man of the Year.
Yeah. And he's all like, sometimes you just look around. I'm thinking, I'm the only one that can do anything about it. I'm going to do something about this. I'm the only one who can.
We're the only people who can do it.
Right.
Leave Tom alone.
Leave him alone. Okay. Tom Cruise has been honored by the U.S. Navy. He received the U.S. Navy's highest honor yesterday. The U.S. Secretary of the Navy, his name is Carlos Del Toro, and he gave Tom Cruise the Distinguished Public Service Award for, quote, outstanding contributions to the Navy and the Marine Corps through movies like Top Gun, A Few Good Men, and others. Mm-hmm. Tom said, I admire all the servicemen and women. I know in life something that is very true to me is that to lead is to serve. And I know that to my core, and I see the servicemen and women. And that's it. That's the quote. That's great. That's just the whole quote right there.
Read that again.
I admire all of the servicemen and women. I know in life something that is very true to me is that to lead is to serve. And I know that to my core. And I see that in the servicemen and women.
And then what'd he say?
That's it. Then he said this.
Okay.
And they all went,
nonsense.
I know, it's such a weird thing to say.
You know,
to lead is to serve. I know that. I see that. What are you talking about, dude?
I believe he's probably done them a lot of good service.
Oh, like, yes.
He's
a recruitment tool.
I leave Top Gun all fired up. Like, you do. Mm-hmm. You can't help it. But I also, you know, Maddie was there. We were backstage at Alice in Winterland.
Yes.
And we were talking to some of the record reps. I can't think of the dude's name, if I even got it in the first place, but I think he takes care of One Republic. And he was talking about some country bands, and he mentioned, it's not Tube Steak Troubadours, Turnpike Troubadours. Yeah. Have you heard of them?
I've heard of the Tube Steak Troubadours, but not the Turnpike Troubadours. I'm sorry
whatever
to
it
say.
Is.
The Tube Steakers, though.
Sounds like a band.
Like a fun band.
Sounds more like a ska band.
Tube Steak Troubadours, I'm in.
But I heard that and I went, oh, I'll check them out. So I checked them out and I do like them.
Yeah.
But one of the songs they talk about how, well, the only job in town is the sawmill and they're not hiring. So Mr. Recruiter, your offer sounds great. And you think, oh, like that's what leads a lot of people into service is
yes.
that there's not one better option anywhere in sight.
Right.
The military is one of the top, if not the top employers in the state of West Virginia. Yeah. I mean, it's you graduate, you either go to college or go to the military because there's no more mines. There's no jobs. So, yeah, that's it.
Woof.
Well,
and thank God they do. We need them.
You do learn valuable skills. They will help pay for school.
They pay for school.
It's
a good deal.
It can be. Just have to keep your fingers crossed that there's no war when you go in.
No mm-hmm. action.
No, yeah, I don't want any action.
Front lines.
I don't want to. How do I get out of this?
Don't worry, the world's fine.
Sure.
Nothing's going to happen.
Well, it's all drone warfare now.
I think I'm reading this wrong. Front line.
I'm more of a backline guy. It's just like, I like to be in the background.
Anyway, I do believe he does a lot for recruitment, so I'm sure that's a well-deserved, and they're probably like, make some more.
Oh, yeah.
Make some more movies, Tom.
Right. They were like, we had a peak back in the 80s, well, last mm-hmm. time you did a Top Gun, and now we just had a huge peak in the 2020s. Oh, boy. Alec Baldwin. Does every random celebrity have a podcast now? It's like, I guess if they have a minute of downtime, they're just deciding, I just have so much to say. I'm going to say it into a microphone and try and get someone to pay me to do it.
I think if you have a name, you have an automatic draw. Then you also control the dialogue. You're in charge. You get to put your story out and no one can.
Yeah. I think I may have misled you. Alec Baldwin doesn't have a podcast. He went on David Duke.
He does have a podcast too.
Does he?
Straight up said.
I didn't mean to mislead you. I said Alec Baldwin, and then I was looking at whose podcast it is, and I'm like, why does everyone have a podcast now? Like, why does David Duchovny need a podcast? Which, I like him, but I'm like, what's that guy got to say? I mean, I guess I find out by listening.
Well, you gotta turn it on and see.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
It's just that there's so many choices now. Like, what do I have to do? Start making lists and eliminating people? It's crazy.
This is the whole podcast. He's like, hey, remember me? I was on X-Files.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm David Duchovny.
Well, isn't he a fairly intelligent dude? Like, isn't that one of the raps on him?
Who would know? I don't know.
He's some kind of, you know, what
genius.
Are they? Well, what is that thing that?
Savant?
No, Sharon Stone's Mensa.
Oh, he's a Mensa
isn't
guy.
Isn't he some Mensa guy?
Know. I actually don't know.
Which doesn't necessarily make him entertaining, but I'm saying, you know, I mean, maybe he just wants to talk, you know, high thoughts.
Right. I mean, I haven't seen him in anything, so maybe he's just like, I just want to work. I just want to have something to do. You know, was it this season of Survivor or was it last season of Survivor? There was somebody's, it was like Rowan, Woody Allen's kid there. Actually, not even Woody Allen's kid. He's the guy who broke the whole hashtag Me Too. He writes for the...
Farrow?
Yes, Rowan Farrow. Whatever.
Ronan.
That guy had a boyfriend who was a writer.
I was going to say, he was not on Survivor. Okay, the boyfriend
right. Remember, so his boyfriend's actually an accomplished speechwriter. He's done all this stuff, but now he's really known for his podcast. I guess he's got a pretty big podcast. I can't even think of the guy's name. And he looks into the camera on Survivor and he's like, yeah, well, I do a podcast. And he goes, I can't believe I just said I'd do a podcast. Like, he was like embarrassed by what he does. Because it's, I just think everybody and their brother and sister and their cousin and everyone has a podcast.
Well, if you ask Maddie, who's the king of podcasts, and he's right here, so we will. Don't most well-intended podcasts end within, I mean, I wouldn't even give them
tops?
6 months at the most. Like, I think people come out of the gates and then they go, oh, this is really hard to keep going day after day, month after month, you know, year after year.
Yeah, there's a term. It's called pod fade. And I mean, and that's a real term that we use in the industry, right, as far as like pod fade. Most people do 5 or 6 episodes at max.
And they're
at
over.
Max. In fact, 5 or 6 max.
I believe it's
they're
about.
They're like all in. They make a deal. They do 5 episodes and then they're like.
Well, I'm talking normal, like people starting a podcast because, oh, right, you know, there's thousands of people starting a podcast as we speak.
Right.
With the celebrity things, here's what I've seen has happened is they get signed, they get on, and they'll give it a little longer run because they have to. But it's the same kind of thing where it kind of fades. But
where they start getting guests to help them fill the space. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, and people like our agent hired me to work with celebrities to, because they didn't. They,
to make
they,
their podcast
they knew
last.
They would get an offer because they're famous and they've got stuff.
It's
but
a name.
But
it's
they've,
a,
but they've got to come up with a concept and, mm-hmm, and something that's not
well,
just.
That's the thing. It is actually. Like, we do a morning show, so we just read everything. We're just read, and then we have, I feel like we have some chemistry, and we come in and we talk about stuff and argue over things and laugh at stuff or we're, you know, crass or, we're, you know, whatever. Like, we don't have to have a hook because we're just two people who like doing radio.
But you have a hook. I mean, it's a brand. You've established
right,
a brand.
We've established that we are people who can come in here and talk about nonsense for 4 hours a day. You want, when the world's going to hell, come to us. We are not talking about that.
And that's what a lot of people do when they start a podcast. They think, I'll just do that. Mm. And it's usually not interesting to anybody but the people on the microphone, you know,
right,
when you listen to these shows. And it's, that's why, you know, they,
like
they've
David
all got to
Duchovny,
have some kind of hook or something. And he is, by the way, 147 IQ. You were right, Vinny. He's a very smart guy.
I don't know this is the first I've heard of David Duchovny's podcast. It's called, I think it's called Fail Better, as in like feel better, but fail better, I
cute,
guess. So I have no idea if it's any good. I don't know what he normally talks about. I guess maybe people could write him and ask him questions about the X-Files. I have no idea.
No, the concept for his podcast is that he's failed, and I love this because this is, I do this a lot when I teach. I don't give examples of the things I've done right. It's like, I missed this, you know, I did this wrong. I learned this.
Right.
I know to do that in the future. I think that's the concept of his podcast, is they talk about people's failures.
Well, then actually Alec Baldwin's like the perfect guest, yeah, to be on here because he opened up about the Rust thing. He didn't totally open up, and they're kind of selling it like he told everything. But there's a lot of like, this man has been clearly advised by lawyers to not to. So Alec Baldwin talking about the Rust shooting case, in case you haven't heard this, a couple years back, he's on a set. It's like a Western movie. He's holding what he thinks is not a loaded gun or a gun that has blanks in it. He's been handed this by one of the armorers on set, which is another term I never heard of before. And he somehow, without pulling the trigger, the gun goes off, goes through the director.
They were about to do a scene, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe they were kind of running through like a scene.
There were a few people out in front of him as he's in front of the camera, right, and they're behind it.
Yes.
So that's how
it's all they're all set up, sort of these behind, mm-hmm, the scenes people, and he's holding this gun and it goes off mysteriously, and the bullet goes through the director and hits the cinematographer, I believe she was, and she passed. And so he was supposed to face charges and go to trial on that involuntary manslaughter. But that's been dismissed now. And so he's able to talk about some of this stuff, but he's basically saying that he says, I think there's more to come.
More lawsuits, you
know? No, more details about this whole thing. He actually says here that he feels that his career's been derailed by this, which, yeah. I mean, he's still Alec Baldwin the whole time. Like, I'm sure he'll work again.
Well.
But.
A lot of people want jobs in Hollywood.
Yeah. He can go hide on his ranch in Vermont.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to feel sorry for him, but what I would Look, one of the things about this story that's really heartbreaking is that it's a split second mistake. If you're holding, like, this is for the greater public. The better message here is don't be carrying a gun out when you go out. If there's drinking, if there's partying, if you're like, I'm gonna,
guns,
no one's
kill
getting
people
over on me. The mistake is such a split second mistake that he didn't probably even intend to make,
right,
and continues to deny,
right,
for that matter.
He
but
said, no, I never pulled that trigger.
How many people are in jail for life or less, but it's because of a split second mistake and they realize,
right,
I just shot somebody.
Right.
My temper got the best of me, or I should. And it's just a matter of, should that have even been out with you in the first place, dude? Like, it's having a gun in your hand. The responsibility is profound.
Well, I hope that did open some people's eyes up. I mean, I actually think this is kind of a weird situation. Like, I can't say that we've never heard of someone being shot, even killed by a blank. Like, there's still a thing that gets shot, apparently. Didn't Brandon Lee die?
Yeah.
From a blank or from a...
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he gets handed a loaded gun. By someone who's supposed to know... But he's not an armor. He's not a weapons expert. Like, I actually do feel like, okay, that was a horrible mistake. I don't know that Alec Baldwin needs to be serving time for that. So anyway, he's talking about this onset shooting that he says derailed his career and led him to facing down a potential prison sentence as he went on trial for involuntary manslaughter. He told David Duchovny on David Duchovny's podcast that there was new information that would have exonerated him, and it would have been revealed in court if the case had not been dismissed at the 11th hour. He did not say what that was. Or if he did, I'm certainly not seeing that here. Maybe I've got to listen to the podcast.
People are writing in and saying, Alec has had his own podcast for many years. Others, 650, Alec's podcast is great.
We're
talking about Duchovny's podcast, but I'm sure that these are people that understand their brand and they're businessmen. They have to do justice, or they're a pod fade.
His show's called Here's the Thing, and he has been doing it for quite a while. In fact,
I'm surprised he would share nuggets like this on David Duchovny's podcast when he's got his own to do.
Hmm.
I wonder if every celebrity has a podcast. I guess they all have to like go and agree to do the other person's podcast. Or does that become their co-podcast? Like they both air the episode. Mm. I'd be like, I don't want to do another one with you. I just had a conversation with you. I'll play it on mine. You play it on yours.
Well, the best way to get new listeners in a podcast is cross-promotion with another podcast, because you're already talking to a group of people who like to listen to podcasts and they hear as a guest and they go, oh, well, Alec's really good. I've never thought about listening to
this
show.
A lot of the YouTubers do that too.
Yeah, exactly.
I see my kids watching something and they'll have, this is YouTuber so-and-so making an appearance on Archie. Okay.
Oh, one person I don't know on another person I don't know show.
Mm-hmm.
So Alec Baldwin said, I think there's more to come. There's more to come, but the more to come is now my effort. It's going to be undeniably a successful effort to raise and expose what really happened. I was counterpunching. I was on the defensive. I was being accused. I was being indicted. And he said that tabloid press and the mainstream press suppressed every story where he looked favorable, amplified every story that could hurt him over the 3 years since the very tragic onset shooting. He says the truth of what has happened has never been told. Honestly, tell the truth then. Tell what really happened. Because honestly, what it sounded like is a terrible, tragic accident where you got handed a gun that you were told wasn't loaded. It was. You fired it and you killed somebody accidentally. I don't understand what all this cloak and dagger, I'm going to prove. Like, what?
I'm sure he has. You already said it. He has to be careful what he says. But right. I almost don't think that he. I think that even if he didn't mean to pull the trigger, he did. And that's the point I was trying to make. They're not hard to pop off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to squeeze them, but that amount of pressure isn't difficult. You don't need finger muscle.
No.
To pull a trigger.
Right. It's a trigger.
Even having one in your hand and a finger on a trigger with the safety off and getting tickled could, you know, any kind of.
Right. Anyway. Oh, the end. What's coming up in the news, Vinny?
Alec needs to stop talking, says 831. Mm-hmm. His career is hurting. How about the cinematographer's career that's over?
Yeah.
And her son has no mother.
Mm.
Crunch, but true.
Well-placed outrage.
Christmas is coming up. Also, herpes.
Oh, good.
Yay!
Alice at 97.3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
Oh, excuse me. It's Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Hello.
That's so funny.
She's last at the end, and I started laughing. And I kept going. I didn't mean to go over the thing. Hey, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our friend Matt Nathanson joins the Sarah and Vinny show to bring in some holiday cheer.
Oh, is he going to sing to us?
I think so.
Like holiday songs?
I really don't know what he has planned. We asked him to come on, and he's... I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up here with a guitar.
All right.
Come on.
Make
him look at Maddie while he's going to sit there. I just make sure he's making eye contact with Maddie during the whole
don't do
I'm not going to get a word in. This guy's like your boyfriend or something. What are you talking about?
I can't wait to see my boyfriend later.
I'm from Boston. You're from Boston. Oh, my God.
I love you.
Let's be best friends. This Alice Report is brought to you by BART. If you're shopping, ice skating, or heading to the airport this holiday season, avoid the stress of dealing with unpredictable Bay Area traffic. Take BART. Visit BART.gov. BART, let's go.
Boop, boop.
All right, here's what's happening. First and foremost, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Vincent. We're only a week away.
Mostly clear this morning, although there's patchy fog out there that will slow you down. Like, it needs to slow you down. It's really thick. Clouds later, but no rain expected until Saturday. So there's that. It turns out that Maddie's team lost last night. I didn't want to really get too into it, but I was curious. Did you go to your local pub where everyone hangs, or did you do that at home?
No, I did that at home. I knew it was going to be ugly, so I didn't need to be around.
You knew ahead of time that there was no chance for the Mountaineers?
Not that there was no chance, but we're playing with an interim coach.
Oh dear!
And had a bad season.
New coach who used to be your old coach. Though.
Yeah,
congratulations!
Thank you so much for that. And it was a 5-point game, but it felt like we never had a chance.
All right.
Yeah, but thank you for noticing.
Uh huh. This is a fast fact, everyone.
Oh, I love fast facts.
Fast facts. Electric Christmas lights were invented by
Benjamin Franklin. Didn't
Thomas Edison.
Oh my God.
And
really?
His business associate, Edward Johnson. Edison created the first strand of electric lights and hung them outside his lab in New Jersey during the holidays in 1880.
Wow.
2 years later, Edward, his partner, hand-wired 80 red, white, and blue light bulbs and strung them together around a tree in front of a window to the street.
Oh, wow.
Powered by a generator. It wasn't until 1903 that General Electric began to offer pre-assembled kits of Christmas lights for consumers.
Wow.
Now you know.
That is, you don't really think about that. Like somebody had to come up with the idea for the string lights. Why would it be the guy who invented the light bulb?
Why? Because you'd think that would, you know, he'd kick his heels up and go, well, I invented it. I don't need to do more stuff.
Right.
This is funny. Not funny. This is interesting because...
Why am I laughing? It was not funny.
Odyssey is an inventorated word.
Yes. Yep. We made up our own word.
Go on.
It's spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y, not like Odyssey, the Iliad and the Odyssey. It's like audacious audio, auspicious journey of music, right?
Not as clean as you usually do, but I'll take it. Durex condoms.
Durex.
Durex condoms. Yeah. Got their brand name from a combination of three words.
Oh, no.
They must have gone to the same marketing agency.
Durable latex.
Durability, reliability, and excellence.
Oh.
All combined to make Durex.
Durex. You know, when you really think about the word Durex, I'll let you take Odyssey over that. Like, Durex. Like, that doesn't seem like... It seems like someone would say that and everyone would go, what else you got?
So that's why you never used them? You didn't like the name?
Yeah, I didn't like the name. I liked the Trojans, and so I would go with the Trojans. Just sounded hotter, you know? Durex, dur.
Sloths are famous for being slow and lazy, but they're super fast when they do it. It only lasts 6 seconds at the most.
Well, let's get this over with.
You'd love that, Sarah.
It would be I would do it all the time if it was 6 seconds. I'd be like, oh, you want to do that again? You got it. I'm going to hold my breath.
There's all kinds of...
I don't know
why
I'm holding my breath during it, but...
Yeah, I don't know. What's your...
It just doesn't... It's like, that would be so great.
The whole premise of this, I don't buy any of it, by the way. You're the horniest guy in the show for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
The best cities for Christmas in 2024. I only do this because there's a lot of these, but San Francisco did make the list. Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Vegas, Orlando, then San Francisco, St. Louis, Miami, Chicago, and New York. I have a question.
Yes.
Was there any talk from your boys that they would stay in New York for the holidays? Like, did they say, you know what I really want to do is be here? Like, there's snow and it's beautiful.
No, there was no talk. In fact, Riley and I have been going back and forth all morning about how excited he is to come back and get over here. And we send trailers to each other on our little family thread. Like, oh, we should watch this. Oh, we should watch that.
Ah.
Oh, we should cook this. Oh, we should make that.
Well, look at you two. Mm. Nice. All morning?
Riley and me, yeah. Oh. Well, we talk a lot. We work together.
You like it.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
funny.
I can tell.
John and I were talking about it. I thought, you know, it's like a surprise friend later in life. Like kids, hate kids. But, you know, they grow up and then they're like this person. You're interested in what they're doing and they're fun. And you have like all this stuff in common and the same kind of sense of humor. He's great. Riley's one of my best friends, weirdly. It's lovely. Surprise. Nice. I know. It's like a surprise. I miss him so much. I can't wait to see him.
Mm. This story out of Geneva.
Oh, Geneva.
Geneva.
The Boston cover band?
No.
Oh.
Your headline reads, Silent Epidemic. 846 million people are infected with genital herpes. This is a worldwide story.
Well, yeah.
But they say 1 in 5 people worldwide has herpes.
Of some kind. The genital herpes, you said 800 million?
More than 1 in 5 people between the ages of 15 and 49 are living with genital herpes. A staggering statistic that reveals a global health challenge shrouded in silence and stigma.
Well, people feel so embarrassed about it and horrified, and it's like it is not a death sentence. And listen, 20% of people between 15 and 49 have it. That's, you're in great company. Don't worry. Just say you've got it. And then if they're like, I can't, then let them go. Bye. See you around. Go find somebody else that do stuff too.
Worldwide, there's a new infection happening every single second.
Oh boy.
42 million new cases annually. And they say, and it just goes, but despite being that rampant, there's no discussion of this. And certainly no cure. It's one of those things. There's a stigma around genital herpes that means it.
Why can't they cure that yet? That really does seem like something they should be able to cure.
It does.
Or at least give you a, it's like the human papilloma virus where you get the, you know, kids get a vaccine for a double shot of a vaccine.
No, one of the problems is there's no basic plan for sex education in general. Worldwide, not even in America, much less worldwide. So there's a situation where probably people aren't even being informed about these things and how you get it. And what I've certainly had conversations with people because I've taken, you need a blood test to test for herpes. And so if someone tells you,
don't have it,
I'm clear, like, I'm good. Oh, really? Have you had a blood test? Huh? Yeah. Then you can't say that so
you
confidently.
You may never present any sores.
And I don't think there should be a stigma, and it can happen to anyone. And I think there's sites now where you can go date people.
Yeah.
Who
it's
also
called
BigH.com. I don't know what it's called.
How you doing herpes.com?
I don't know that it's called how you doing.
Herpehumper.com.
No, I don't think it's that either.
Herpehumper.org.
No.
.xxx.
No, I just think that it's important we all understand that number is big. 1 in 5. Yeah.
You don't want it, all right?
No.
But you also aren't going to die from it, and it just isn't going to kill you. Like, that sucks. Now you got to tell people that. Oh, well, there's so many worse things than herpes. Like, don't kill yourself over it. Jesus.
I definitely wish I'd been more promiscuous in my youth.
Listen, I was promiscuous, and I somehow don't have it. Somehow. Of all of us, I'm the one who should have it.
I don't. I'm just, when you're doing the story. But when you're doing the story, I'm just thinking, oh boy, that's another thing. Boy, dating. It seems like so much fun.
Yeah. Well, go get blood tests. That's all.
A woman in Pennsylvania named.
Or don't.
Margaret DeLulu.
Oh, Margaret DeLulu.
No, DeLulo. DeLulo.
I like DeLulu.
No, it's DeLulo.
DeLulo.
Margaret DeLulo just turned 110 years old, and she credits God, good genes, and beer. Her favorite, Yingling.
Oh.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yingling?
Her favorite's Yingling?
Yeah, it's a Pennsylvania beer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's America's oldest beer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh. Is that the one they made the black I'm tan with?
Yep.
That is delicious.
That's exactly right.
I was a huge fan of those when I lived in Philly.
If you live in California, you may have never even heard of Yingling,
right?
But it is regularly on the lips of someone in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, regularly.
I forgot all about black and tans. Like out here, I probably can't even get Yingling. Do you think that I could get that somewhere?
You can.
I think you can get it. I just don't think
I drink Guinness all the time.
It's the regular conversation. Yingling. Well, you get black and tan. It's
right.
Why you keep saying that? Nobody ever says that where I'm from. That's they say it all the time. Just like they say hoagie and cheesesteak.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Right. And Wawa. I mean, all kinds
and
of
Wawa.
Things,
right? I love, man. I ate a meatball sandwich from a Wawa.
Mm. Yeah, that's like, you know, you can never, now that you've said that, you can never make fun of people who eat food from 7-Eleven.
Oh,
again.
No, they're two totally
they're
different.
Not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're
100% different dining experiences.
No, they're not. They're the same thing. Convenience store. They are convenience stores.
No.
I'm not saying that Wawa's not a nice convenience store, but it's a convenience store. Can you get gas at any of them?
At what, Wawa?
Yeah.
Of course you can.
It's a convenience store.
Yeah, but they have a deli for sandwiches. They don't have a deli at 7-Eleven.
What is your point?
They do have a deli. It's a rolling deli of
rounds
of sausage.
Stuff you can microwave and random sausages on a sorely durly thing. But they don't have somebody, you know, making sandwiches and
yeah, it's
bread.
A convenience store, though. I mean, you can't trust that stuff. But I'm glad that you enjoyed your meatball sub from there. Did you mean meatball hoagie?
Yeah.
I don't know what I meant. I didn't realize I was picking a fight. A woman in Maryland bought her first ever lottery ticket and won $100,000.
Oh, well, now we got a new lottery person.
She had to have a family member double check it because she thought she read the rules wrong. And she says it's especially sweet because, quote, this is the quote that I want you to all hear. All of my life, people have told me I'm unlucky. Oh. This proves them all wrong. Is that a complex she's living under? Or do you actually think people are like, Betty, you are one unlucky bee?
I don't understand why her whole life people have been like, can she give some examples of some unlucky things? Like, did she drop a mirror every 7 years through her whole life? Did she... does she have a higher rate of car accidents than everybody else? Like, what makes her so unlucky?
That's why I thought that sentence was
that's very, a very weird thing to say.
Strange that you would be like, you won the lottery and now it's your revenge on all the people.
Yeah.
All your life who've told you you're not lucky, Betty. You're an unlucky lady.
You're one of those unlucky people.
Go get them, Betty.
Golly.
Betty. Wow. I wonder if like one person said that to her one time. When she was really little.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
All your life, everyone has told you you're unlucky. Okay.
It's like that internal dialogue where you constantly tell you, I suck at things. I'm unlucky. Mm.
It's very strange.
Mm. Very.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Black and Tan, says 415, is made with harp beer out here in California. I don't know harp.
I feel like I've heard of harp.
It's Irish as well. So like an Irish Black and Tan is usually those two. But
you're saying
back
Yuengling
east,
is a Irish beer?
No, I'm saying that. But back east, it's substituted for harps. But a lot of places they do harps.
Mm. Yeah, I need to get that back into my life. I haven't had a Black and Tan in years.
707 says, Sarah,
what I do now?
Every time you shame Usher regarding his herpes, you are being a hypocrite.
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's that he knew and he knowingly passed it to people and has been sued multiple times for it. And yet people still keep going back. And green discharge was in one of the stories. And I can't let that go because that's not even a herpes thing. That's not a herpes thing.
Let's see. I've never had an outbreak, but I found out recently from a blood let me find the
must be
test
asked
that I carry the herpes virus and I've only had sex like five people, including my husband.
Mm. But he doesn't have it. And if you're not having an outbreak, then you're all right.
Yeah, I think like, for example, I mean, I've been with Christina now for 16 years. I mean, it would be a surprise if she was like, out of nowhere, I have this. Mm. But we would both have it then. You know what I mean? Like, there's no... okay. Mm. Now, if she goes...
Could she just be a carrier and, like, you wouldn't get it except through, like, a blood transfer?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't stop having sex. Would you?
No. God, no. Plus, you know, you're married to her.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you both get it, you both get it. It isn't a death sentence. Nobody dies from it.
It would be a hard thing if you've been married or together even, forget the marriage part, just together 15 years, and then all of a sudden you hear, and now you're like, I wear condoms now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Or you wonder if they got it from somewhere
else.
Well, of course you'd wonder that.
Come into play as well.
Mm.
510 says, we do teach sex education and life skills in high school in California, Union City, California.
Many schools do. Many more progressive states do, and many other states don't. And some of them are bad. They don't even do it because of religious reasons. They just don't do it. They say abstain and don't talk realistically with children.
I don't know how uniform the teaching is,
right,
even statewide, much less nationwide, but that's kind of what I was referring to. I know that I got extra in junior high because me and my little dumb group of friends were like pretty actively trying to date girls.
And
so,
the teacher was hot for you. Go on.
Well, I don't think she was hot for us, but she told us a lot of stuff, including the fact that...
Well, and she was crass about it, too.
She also
was interesting.
Told us why girls like horses. That's where I got that.
Yeah, that's
Mrs. Oliveira said, girls like horses because that ride provides them stimulation. And I was like,
it actually doesn't in any way, shape, or form.
She fully uncovered the hook that girls have for ponies. I get it now.
God, that story annoys me.
I know it does. But that's where I got it. I didn't teach me that. She taught me that.
You didn't get taught anything. You got lied to.
Did you learn? Did you learn something, Vinny?
I did. Then you were girls, taught. Yeah, exactly right.
Because you didn't learn anything because that's not true.
So you can honestly say that's you've never
absolutely never
enjoyed
a ride at all. In that way, absolutely not.
That's too bad. I mean, I think, isn't it?
No.
Aren't you jealous?
Of what?
Of Miss Oliveira. Apparently.
Miss Oliveira clearly also never rode a horse. So anybody who thinks that, anybody who like rides horses and goes, oh yeah, I was getting where I needed to get with that.
Well, okay, fine. What's coming up in the trash?
Oh, God. Coming up, the official title of Wicked 2 plus the Library of Congress. What?
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up. You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.